Okay, let's begin. One or two people.
What's the same thing?
Very shvach, very shvach. Very shvach. All right. Rabbi Yisrael, let's begin. We're up to Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. Okay, so we're up to over here, the second 12. Perek Aleph, page 12. So we're up to the second 12. Hosea is told by Hashem to marry a zona. Okay, Hashem tells him to marry a zona, and he has going to have three children. And the first child's name was Yisrael. The second child's name was Loi Ruchama. And here the Pasuk says, Pasuk Ches tells what happens with Loi Ruchama. Pasuk Ches, again, page 12. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches, Vatigmol es Loi Ruchama. He weaned. Vatigmol means she weaned, the Zoyna, she weaned. She weaned es Loi Ruchama, meaning that she reached the age of two. We learned where do we find the first time the idea of Tigmol?
Yitzchak.
Vayigomal was specific. Vayigdal hayeled, Vayigomal. Vayas Avraham mishte gadol biyom. He gomel es Yitzchak. It's an amazing concept, but Tigmol es Loi Ruchama. I'm sorry. Maybe turn on high. What's that? Okay, static. Try this again. Got to play around with this. Okay, now this is a very bizarre idea. Vatigmol, the Pasuk tells, Vatigmol es Loi Ruchama, Vatar Vatilubin, and then we come to the third child. Now we're going to come, the Pasuk is telling us the end of the second child and the beginning of the third child. There are a lot of things taking place in this Pasuk. But before we get to some, let's just get a simple translation. What does it mean, Vatigmol? It means to wean. What does it mean to wean? It means the child is now independent. In ancient times, there was no such thing as formula. There was no such thing as bottles. A child's only sustenance came from the mother. The mother would nurse a child. It appears from Chazal that it was very common for a mother to nurse a child until the child was 2 years old. From what I understand, it's not like that today. Today, b'derech klal, it's a lot less. Not that there are not mothers that nurse their child until the age of 2 years old, but it's very uncommon from what I understand. Even those who nurse, they nurse whatever it is, but not up to 2 years.
Much earlier.
So, but in ancient times, that's because in today we have all different types of foods and formulas and bottles and so on and pacifiers, and you name it, in order to satisfy the child. Let's lighten up the mood here with a good joke. Okay, it's always good. Person with a, what does the Gemara say? Nilsen b'dichusa. So I read in the magazine, someone showed this to me about sleep deprivation. People who do strange, bizarre things when they do not get enough sleep. A whole list of very funny stories. So the best one by far was mother. She was working and managing the children. This that she was so tired. The baby was crying. So she picks up the baby, and the husband says, "All right, I'll hold the baby. You go get the baby the bottle. Get a pacifier." So the mother goes. The mother goes and she prepares the bottle. In the meantime, she takes the pacifier and she comes back with the pacifier and her husband is holding the baby. She takes the pacifier and puts it in her husband's mouth. Was this really because of sleep deprivation? Or was she sending a message to her husband? Okay, now getting back to something more serious. So it's something called Vatigmol es Loi Ruchama. It says Vayigdal Hayeled by Yitzchak Vayigomel Vayas Avraham Mishte Godol Biyom Higomel es Yitzchak. When was the last time you went to a celebration of Vatigmol? Do you ever go today? We've invented in Jewish amongst us all these funny holidays don't exist. Today they already celebrate catered events. Do you ever hear such a thing? Wachnacht. Wachnacht. The night before the Bris Mila. Before the Bris Mila. The night before the Bris Mila. A catered affair. A catered event. Spend $10,000. $10,000. Hire a caterer. Hire people with much money to burn. Hire a caterer. And bring all your children. Say Kriya Shema. to Kriya Shema, and we're going to have entertainment, we're going to have music, entertainment, we're going to have a catered meal. You'd be surprised.
Make a big thing about that.
Where does that come from? Vach, okay, then there's bris, and then we have upsharing, which became now a new thing, even among the Lithuish Olam. But have you ever, upsharing is when the baby is to make payas, when the baby is 3 years old. Have you ever gone to a celebration when the baby is 2 years old? Have you ever gone? It's a Beferish Pasek. Vayigdal Yitzchak Vayigomal. Vayigdal Hayeled Vayigomal. Vayigdal Vayigomal. Have you ever gone to a party to celebrate the fact the baby is now 2 years old, the baby no longer needs to be nursed from its mother, it's now independent? We've never heard of such a thing. But yet it's a Beferish Pasek. So I don't know, it's a very interesting, I don't have an answer. Or whatever you go, so you tell them, the Chazal tell us, Vayigomal, it doesn't mean 2 years old, it means either Bris Mila, he celebrated at the Bris Mila, or it means Bar Mitzvah. Why Bris Mila? Vayigomal, Gomal, Gomal Mal, in the same passage as Gimel, Yigdal Hayeled. How does it go? It's lashon of on the eighth day. On the eighth day. So how do you get the eighth day? Ches gematria, ches gimel mol, vati gomal. What's the pasuk? It's a drasha that really refers to the bris mila. Does not refer to. It's not referring to when he was 2 years old. But that's not the traditional maker.
Right, Rashi doesn't learn like that.
That's not, say that's a drasha. And the other interpretation is Bar Mitzvah. Why is it called Bar Mitzvah? What is the inyan of Vatigmal? Vatigmal means the baby is independent. Until a certain point in time, the baby is a dependent. You take him on your tax return. When a person becomes a mature adult, okay, I'm now responsible. Bar Mitzvah is the time when a child is, the parents say, Baruch Shepotrani, May Einshoy Shel Zeh. He stands on his own. I am not responsible for his sins, and he is not responsible for my sins. Hoike Hashem, unfortunately, the Chazal, we don't know what this means. Hashem brings punishment on a child. We have no idea what this means when the parents are guilty of sin. Bizarre, impossible in this world to understand what that means, but that's what Chazal say. When a person becomes 13 years old, he is completely, completely independent. Or it means Bris Mila. What does Bris Mila have to do with the idea of being independent? I don't know. I really don't know. Let me just see over here the pasuk what it says, because I'll tell you how the drasha, the very famous drasha. I can remember it. So famous, I should know about.
You saw this? This is a medrash? Are you quoting?
It's a chazal. It's a maimah chazal. The word that ki gomal. Let's see.
That's a medrash.
It's not a medrash. I think it's a gemara.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. Or maybe it's a gemara.
Because Rashi doesn't go with that opinion.
So where is the Rashi? Where is the birth of this in Parshas
Vayera?
Vayera. The Hashem Pakat. What?
Mitzudas
Sion because it's salvation. Oh, Mitzudas Sion Ken Yikor is man Hashlomas Hayinika Kmo Biyom Higomer Higomel. Okay, that's it. Higomel. What is Higomel? Hey and Gimel is eight. And Mem Lamed is Mila. On the eighth day, he performed a Bris Mila, and he made a party. Okay, Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Ches. This is leaning on Rosh Hashanah. Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Ches. Okay, here it is. Vayigdal Hayel Vayigomal Vayasav Mishdeh Godol Biyom Hi Gomel Es Yitzchak. Hey, Gimel 5 + 3 = 8. Mem Lamed is Mol, short for Mila. On the eighth day, Avraham performed on Yitzchak a Bris Mila. That is the drasha of Chazal. Rashi here says Vayigomal Pshuta Shomikro L'Soif Chof Dalet Chodesh. 24 months, as Rabbi Yisrael Zev said, Ferish Rashi Mishte Gadol Shom Hayu Gedoli Hadar. He made a party, and who did he invite? The Gedoli Hadar, Shem, the Aver, and Avi Melech. Shocking. Avimelech was not necessarily who you expect to be. Wow, you look good. Avimelech is not necessarily the person you'd expect to come to this this event. Avimelech was people suspected that the Avimelech and this Abrasara. But yet
that's why he invited him. I think that's why he invited him.
The goof why he invited him, to show him up. But then why do you invite
that
Shem Haver?
He's
not the father. He should admit, he should come here, by coming to the party, he will be in a diminished, then he's not the father. All right, there's a lot of interpretation, but he also invited Shem Haver. Shem Haver would sit in the company of Avimelech. Shem Haver with the Gedolei Hadar. Avimelech was no tzaddikah. Okay, Rak in Yiras Elokim. Rak in Yiras Elokim. What did Avraham say about Avimelech? Rak in Yiras Elokim b'Malkoim Hazeh. Who's the leader? Who's in charge for the absence of Yerushalayim? The leader. Who's the leader? Avimelech. Shem v'Aver. They represent the spitz, the totality of what Yerushalayim is all about. He's making a party and he's inviting two extremes. People who represent what Yiras Shemayim is and the person who has zero clue. Rak in Yiras Lakim Mokim Hazeh, how you talking? It's very hard for us to understand this.
Yeah.
But maybe part of the answer is Bidafka, which party did he invite them to? He invited them to a party where the baby was 24 months old. What does that mean? 24 months old? Is it a religious party or is it a secular party? A religious party we associate with Bris Milah, Pidyon HaBen, or bar mitzvah, 20, like I told you, or upsharon. When was the last time any of us ever went to a party when the baby is 2 years old, a 2-year-old baby party, to whom you invite the Gedolei Hadar? It's hard for us to grasp what this means. Now, I'm just trying to take from that and apply it to this pasuk, since everything over here in Navi is so significant. Hashem tells Hosea, you're going to have 3 children. First child is born, Yisrael. The second child is Loi Ruchama. And this pasuk over here is coming to bridge Loi Ruchama to the next child, Lo Ami. One pasuk, Vatigmol es Loi Ruchama, Vatar Vatele Ben, the next child. The two are sandwiched. The moment of Gimel, when the child is now matured, is now going to be the moment when the third child, Shalom Aleichem, good morning. Is the moment when he's going to be, the next child is going to be born. Okay, so after we have to really see what that means, understand what that means. But here we assume it means that the baby was weaned, it's independent, no longer needs to come onto its mother. Let's see, Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, let's do a few things together, make it a little bit easier. Pasuk Ches, Vayomer. Now when the next son is born, Hashem says, Kroshmo Lo Ani. The third child is called Loi Ami, ki atem Loi Ami, v'anochi lo eye lochem, you are not my people, and I will not be lochem, I will not be to you. Let's see these two second verses in the Mitzvah, the 7th Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, there is no Mitzudos David for this Pasuk, these two Psukim, and Pasuk Tes on the next page, there is, on the next page, we have a short Mitzudos David on page 15, Ki atem loy ani, einchem charedim al divarai. You are not charedim. What does it mean, charedim? Afraid.
So what are you learning now?
Page 15, Mitzudos David, Pasuk Tes. It's on the very, very bottom. On page 15, ki loy ani, einchem charedim al divarai. You are not charedim. What is a charedi? In Eretz Yisrael, there's this new term. I always tell you this. When did the word charedi come into existence? It's a relatively new term. It's not more than 20 years old. I mean, it hasn't become popular in only the last 20 years. Yeah. Before 20 years old, whoever heard the word Charedi? Never heard this term. A Jew is a Jew. We didn't have labels, so many labels. So Charedi means to be afraid. What are you afraid of? You're afraid of Hashem. You're chored from the Dvar Hashem. Like the word Charedi over here is saying, like the same way you're afraid of a secular king, you are afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's unfortunate today that we have no sense of being afraid of anyone. That's a chasaron. Why are there no gedolei? Why do we have great people today? So part of the reason why some psychologists tell us is because it used to be people were afraid of the malchus. In Rav Moshe talks that in Russia, where he lived, the Soviet Union, where he lived, if a person was called to the government, you were arrested. Most of the time, you didn't come back alive. It was over. It was over. That was they pick you up off the street. They if you jaywalk, they didn't like what you look like. That's it. It's over. Life is over. People had, and if you were called, if you had a problem, you had to go to the Malchus to petition your needs. It was sakonas nefashos. People sittered. So it was easier to once a human being felt what it meant to have fear of another human being. It's easy to channel that fear to Hashem, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When your life is on the line, you can channel it. Baruch Hashem, today we don't have that nesayon, but more or less, Baruch Hashem, today, is anyone afraid of anyone? Is anyone afraid of the government today? Is anyone afraid? You go listen to the radio, people sit on the radio in front of millions of people, it's just not to be believed. Okay, not to be believed, what you can hear someone say, and we're not afraid of anyone. It's not afraid of anyone to differ. It's that much harder in our minds to apply fear to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So unfortunately, it's Zelu Mazel. If there's no Yir Shemayim, then it's not going to be, we cannot expect that we're going to have greatness in Torah, greatness in mitzvahs, because it's totally zeh b'zeh. We're not asking for it, right? No one's asking to go back in time, that's for sure. We're not ready for this. It's what Hashem has presented us with, and we have to make the best of what we have. But here it means you're not my people because you're not afraid of me. Vanochi Rashi says different, because you do have no fear of me. Vanochi, likewise, I'm going to reciprocate. Gam ani lo eye lochem lelokai lehatzilaschem lo shiachem. If I'm not going to be your God to save and to save you, it's zeh l'umazeh. No pain, no gain. You get back what you give. Hashem says, you don't want to behave, I'm not going to be there for you. Let's see Rashi, these two psukim pasuk ches. Rashi, v'atikim l'aslo yiruchamo l'fi yitargumoy v'yichle oyser hadar beinu amim shagolu sham. Rashi, the targum is telling us a more homiletic interpretation, that this second child represents the aseres hashvatim, and when it says v'atigmol, he's making a drasha. Does not mean the baby was weaned and the baby now is independent. It means lashon of gemar. Gemol means that it came upon them. But I think lashon of it came upon them the end. Their retribution, like gemilas chasodim. Hashem is goimel chasodim to, he bestows. So Hashem bestows chasodim tovim, and then to people who are wicked, Hashem bestows upon them punishment. So Klal Yisrael, due to their sins, the Aseres Hashad, due to their sins, it was now bestowed upon them what they deserved. The day of reckoning came upon them. And if we interpret this in a very frightening way, Lefi Targumo Vayichle Oso Hadar, the dar referring to the dar of the Aser, this dar of Aseres Hashvat, living in the time of Hoshea, a little bit ahead, Bein Ho'amim, among the nations, Shagolu Sham, where they went into exile. Now came the third child, Vatar Vatele Bein V'Oisifu Va'avodu Oivodin Bishin. The Targum again learns another child. They continue to do more averos, more averos. So there's a continuous cycle. Three children, Yisrael, Lo Ruchama, Lo Yami, that Klal Yisrael continues to progress in their sin, in their rebellion against Hashem. Ulefi b'shutu kimashmo, the same interpretations as we said before. Okay, let's just quickly take a look at things I marked off over here, a few little things. Let's over here just take a look over here at the Malbum. The Malbum on Pasuk Ches, on page 12 on Pasuk Ches, Be'er Ha'inyin, Ge'i Chizayon La'amalbum, Pasuk Ches, Vatzik Mulas Lo Ruchama, Hayelet Hashlishi Lo Yoldo Teke Vimei Mini Kosa Kimo Shiyoldo Es Hasheni. He's coming to ask the question, why is it that only in regard to child number 3 do we learn that he was born after Shea finished, his mother, the wife, the Zoyna, finished nursing child number 2, but number 2 was born while there's no mention that number 2 was born after she finished nursing child number 1. Rak acha shagamlo es l'ruchama. What's the reason? Ki hayelet hashlishi hanikro lo yami mitzayen churban Yehuda v'galusam. So he's coming to give us a very interesting interpretation. Not like, I think he's really contradicting what he said before. I don't remember exactly. I know it was someone else. It was another one of the commentators. He's revealing to us, incidentally, that the three children represent, the first two children represent the Malchus of Yehuda, and the third child represents the Malchus, the first two children represent the Malchus of Yisrael, and the third child represents the Malchus of Yehuda. So the first child is the beginning. The Malchus of Yisrael lasted for about approximately, I don't remember, like 190 years, something along those lines. So the first two children represent different phases, different stages in the Malchus of Yisrael. There was first Yisrael. Hashem is going to scatter them. As we mentioned, it's going to be, it's a process of scattering. And then Lo Ruchama represents the end. Hashem will show no compassion and allow them to be completely exiled among the nations by Sancheirif. Finished. Now we come to the third child, Lo Yami. This represents the Malchus of Yehuda, the Golus of Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin of Tzidkiyahu, and this took place 200 years later. It did not take place immediately. Sancheirif was unsuccessful in his attempt to conquer and exile Yerushalayim, the Malchus of Yehuda. It took place 200 years later. So this is why there's a gap. First, the baby, Lo Ruchama, the tail end of Malchus Yisrael, came to an end. She was weaned, which we interpret to mean Gomol, Tigmol. In this context, is a negative connotation, that she was scattered among the nations and she assimilated and she just disappeared. The Aseres Hashvatim, we don't know what happened to them. Then, at a later point in time, now, Vatar, Vatelet Ben, who is the Ben? The Malchus of Yehuda, which is now going to get attention, and now they're called Loi Ami. They go into exile, and Nebuchadnezzar conquers them. Just to recap, this was not like we had before from other commentators who taught us that the three children represent the three stages in the Golus of Yisrael. Sancheirif exiled the Malchus of Yisrael in three different stages, and that corresponds to the three different children. Another one of the commentators taught us is that the three children represent the three different groups of the Malchus of Yisrael. The first child represents Yeravam ben Nevat, and then every time, and then Bas, the daughter, represents the kings of Yisrael that were weak and short-lived, and the Bain represents the kings of the Malchus of Yisrael that were strong and powerful and endured for many years. So you see, I have many different interpretations exactly of who these three children are. Many. We just mentioned three. There are probably even more. Probably left out something that we learned. But the Malm over here gives us a different flavor of who they were. Okay, now...
Shot at the pasuk,
yeah?
Is, you know, nursing is a form of birth control, although not reliable. So when she stopped nursing, she was
correct.
Ready
to have conceived with another child. No, okay, correct, right, but, right, absolutely. But maybe he's also coming to mention why is there a mention of it?
Yeah.
So the fact that we emphasize the delay indicates there's a delay. It indicates that there was a gap in between the end of the Malchus of Yisrael and the Golus of the Malchus of Yehuda. Okay, so we did pretty much yesterday most of the Mefarshim here that we wanted to speak about. Okay, there is one Radak. Maybe we should just look out over here, read the Radak just a little bit, just to run through it. Pasuk Ches in Radak makes an important point for us. Let's see. Vatigmol on page 13. Vatigmol es lo yuchama vatavet elabein. Amar vatigmol lefi she'orcho yimei hachulsha bimei zecharyo v'shalom. There was a long delay. He has another interpretation. He's going through some of the history of the Malchus of Yisrael. Zecharyo, now this Zecharyo is not the Navi Zecharyo. Don't confuse this Zecharyo with the Navi Zecharyo. This was one of the kings of Yisrael at the tail end, the Shalom, another king, Kigam, that they were weak. Gam bimei Menachem ben Godi, Shemolach Eser Shanim, ki biyamav, during his days, Bapul Melech Ashur. That's when Pul is another name for Sancheirif. The Gam bimei Pekachya Benoi, during the days of Pekachya, the son of the king of... What? Pekachya ben Remaliyahu. So that was the son. Gabi made Pekachya beno Shemolach Shenosayim at Sheomad Pekach ben Remaliyahu. Pekach, right? That was Pekach ben Remaliyahu. Veschazek b'Melucha. Umolach es Shem Shoni ruled for 20 years. Veskaber al Malchus Yehuda, and he prevailed upon Malchus Yehuda. There was always a civil war going on between the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. There were just a few exceptions when they were at peace with each other, but most of the time they were fighting. For Harag b'Yehuda, Me'av Yeshem Elef, you can imagine a civil war. that the king of the Malchus of Yisrael killed from the Malchus of Yehuda 120,000 ish b'yoyim echad. Wow, isn't that frightening? A civil war, Jew against Jew. We're very good today. Baruch Hashem, we look very good today. Relative to what was going on then. Gam tsar al Yerushalayim imrit sin melech Aram, and he joined forces with, can you imagine, the king of Yisrael joined forces with the king of Aram to conquer Yerushalayim. But all of Amar b'zeh ha-moshel v'tarvet his. So here is what he says, this is very interesting. V'tar v'tele den, v'aldoroi ne'amar, kuroshmo lo amiki olav ne'amar, v'yas rabi yene Hashem lo yisro menach ha-menach menach ha-toy siyom ben nevot. So he wants to say that v'tar v'tele den, the third child, is referring to this period of time, the very end of the Malchus of Yisrael. Not like the Malm just taught us that it refers to the Malchus of Yehuda. It refers to the tail end of the Malchus of Yisrael. And the reason why it says Vatahar, there's a delay, is because during that time period, during the delay, when a child is not being born, it indicates weakness. If there's going to be a long delay from the mention of one child to the next child, that delay indicates that there was a tkufa where nothing was happening. What do we mean nothing was happening? It means it was not a good time. It was a time of weakness, and they were conquered by other people. Now, when it says, oh, the great salvation came, v'atar v'atele ben, it means that the tail end of the Malchus of the Aser Sashvatim, at the end, it got very strong. There was a spurt. Unfortunately, that's how it is a lot of times by sick people. You see this, you hear about this, is the people, Rahman al-Sanah, they're very, very sick, and all of a sudden, at the very, very end, there is a spurt. They gain, all of a sudden they come back, and then, bang, all of a sudden they disappear. He had that with Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, right? He was mamish, the media, the trucks were outside the hospital, all like mamish, waiting. And they were all like, because he was mamish a goises. And then miraculously, he came back to life. He was mamish in a coma, he came back to life, and he was talking to his children, he was learning with them, and it lasted for about a week. And then suddenly, out of the blue, that was over. One,
so
two,
what's
three.
The meaning of that?
And that's very common. That's not the exception. Unfortunately, people, Rahman al-Islam, that are very, you know, elderly people that are very sick, they at the end, they rally.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe he has something to do with the neshama. I have no idea.
Wow. Mentioned before 120,000 were killed. Is it with just the battle we can cut the noses off?
I don't think so. Maybe I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
That was for you. That was for sure. But none.
Okay. So this is one idea. And then he goes on to say the Achocham HaRabbi Abraham ben Ezra, the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is very popular. It's very popular here in Trey Osser, it appears. Perash Mishal Vatigmol Achacher. Everybody say Achacher Shagolu Aseres Hashvatim Vahilidu Bonim Hashvatim Bigalusam Visham Omduv Leshavul Yartsam Al Kain Koroshmam Lo Ami. So he has here another interpretation. Again, we have so many interpretations. The third child refers again to the Aseres Hashvatim, or the Malchus of Yisrael, but it refers to them after the Galus. After they went into Galus, they assimilated. And their assimilation is defined as Loi Ami. You're not my nation anymore. So we start out with Yisrael. If you want to go take this and kind of reference what we learned yesterday, that the word Yisrael is another name for Klal Yisrael. Yisrael, most of them, Farshim told that Yisrael is a negative. It's a name which means galus. It's a very bad word. Yisrael, lashon of zoreya, dispersal. But some we learned yesterday. No, it's a positive word. Yisrael means like you have Yisrael. It means it's another name for Klal Yisrael. Is that they are seated in Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people living in the land is called Yisrael. Maybe that's it. You have Yisrael. Yisrael just refers to the nation. We are asar. We are superior. Ki sorisa im Elokim va'anoshim va'tuchol. You have prevailed upon the sar shel Esav and upon other men. We have, the word Yisrael is not related to the land. The word Yishurun represents the midos of Klal Yisrael. Yoshar. Then we have the word Yaakov. Yaakov means the struggle of Klal Yisrael and Golus. And then we learned yesterday, according to one of the commentators, there's a word called Yisrael, which refers to Jewish people, but it specifically relates to Klal Yisrael living in the land, living in Eretz Yisrael. They are Zorua in the land of Hashem. They will be seeded. They will be planted in their homeland. It'd be very interesting that the name for the state of Israel, based upon this, would have been a good would be Yisrael, not Israel. Yisrael. Yisrael just means we're Klal Yisrael. So you can be Klal Yisrael and Golus. When Yaakov Avinu got the name Yisrael, that was not. That when he was not yet in Eretz Yisrael, he fought with the Tsar Shel Esav on his return from Aram Naharayim before he came into Eretz Yisrael. So he got the name Yisrael in Golos. He Sorisa im Elokim. Elokim means with angels, Va'anoshim, and with man, Lavan. You lived in Golos, in Lavan Garti, V'tayag Mitzvah Shamarti. So Yisrael is not really the best name for the state of Israel. They're not going to like me for saying that. It would have been better to call it Yisrael, because we learned yesterday it means Lashon of Zerua, planted. Where are we planted? In the land. Right? The first we learned yesterday said it's planted in Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people are planted in the land of Hashem. Okay, but that not everyone agrees with that translation of the word Yisrael. In fact, most of the Mefarshim say the word Yisrael has a negative connotation, which means that we are scattered. We are Zorea. Zorea is to scatter. What? Zor, stranger. Okay, but anything over here, we have over here something very, very fascinating. I think in the Radak, Radak is really opening up a whole new world to explain why we have the three children. The first one refers to the beginning of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't really tell us, but it refers to the beginning of the Malchus of Yisrael. And then Loi Ruchama is the end period of time of the Malchus of Yisrael, where Hashem says, enough is enough, I'm not going to have compassion because they're over the Zara. Then we are exiled. We're exiled amongst the Ummah, the Aseres HaShvatim are exiled. And then unfortunately, as we all know too well, that results in assimilation, intermarriage.
Where does it say they assimilated?
Well, that's what happened. That's what's the Metzias. What happened to the Aseres HaShvatim? Where are they today? Where are
Someone
the Aseres?
Someone claimed no. Today, most of them don't assimilate. That's what the Nestorians want to say, the Jewish Nestorians.
Where are they?
Afghanistan, the high mountain, like they have like 50 million.
They said the Taliban.
And they're all Jewish? The Taliban are Hasidim.
Because of their names. And Yosef, they're crying, and things like that.
If Bin Laden would have come to Bar Park,
because they have very similar names.
They would never, ever have found it. Never.
No, because they say Afghanistan.
You can hang out in the Shtiblach and Bar
Park. They have tribes, and it's very similar to the names, the biblical names. Reuven.
Okay.
I read this, the books.
But in America, the whole Constitution of the United States of America is built based upon the Bible.
Right.
On the Bible. So, the Bible and the Bible, the Constitution has more references to...
Yeah, but they have commands. They never open it. Someone opened it.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
There's certain things that's been passed down.
All right.
Lighting candles.
Okay. Fine. Whatever it is.
Four-quartered.
But the Pashtus is the simple understanding is they're gone. What happened to them? They assimilated. Unfortunately, we know that in America, before World War I, many Jews that came from very Choshev Yichus came to America because of Parnassa. They were starving to death in Poland. And anti-Semitism, it was terrible. We can't even begin to marry the Harris, and we can't second guess. They came to America, and there were no yeshivas. And what happened to them? Where are these people today? Someone even told me the numbers didn't be a million Jews. I don't know if that's an exaggeration. A million Jews came to America before, let's say, the end.
1880 to 1930, let's say.
1880-1930. How many came? A million?
The Russians.
More than a million. Almost
to
all.
To
America. To America, almost all of the major chunk of religious Jews today who are Shomrei Torah mitzvos are Jews who came to America from the 1930s and onward. And the Jews who came to America from the 1890s or 1880s until 1930, unfortunately, not all, but a very significant chunk, maybe even 90%, they disappeared. Where did they go? They mamish disappeared off the face of the earth. What happened to them? Assimilated, intermarried, cannot identify, give everything up. You can't blame them. No one's coming to second guess them. There was no yeshivas. There was no foundation. There was no foundation to support the ability.
In 1860, there were no all shoes or orthodox. That's when the reform moved in.
But it's not only because of reform. It's not just because of reform. It's because even the someone who came with the conviction to be a shomer Torah mitzvos, the children just were swept away. They didn't have a chance. What are they going to do? There was no yeshivas. There was no hadracha. There were no rabbanim. There was nothing. So what do you expect? What do you expect? You're going to be like everyone else in America, and they end up intermarrying. I mean, there was no. It's only after people realized it started happening did people begin to establish yeshivas. And who was nene from the yeshivas? The people who came afterwards. The people who came in the 1930s. So that's exactly what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. They went into Golis and there was nothing. And he's coming to Fatay Chiyon Radak. That's exactly what we're referring to over here with the third child. Lo Ami. You're not Jewish. You're not my nation. You're not my people. I don't even know who you are. You're not observant. You intermarry. How can I call you my nation? The previous group, when they were in Eretz Yisrael, they were Jewish. You can't call them Lo Yami. Hashem says, I'm fed up. You're with the Zara. Lo Yeruchama. I will not show you compassion. The previous group, they were called Yisrael. Hashem, at least at that point, he had compassion. Hashem just dispersed them, or whatever that means. But this is a new interpretation. A new interpretation telling us the significance of the three children. Okay, let's now go to the next pas. Now we begin over here in middle of nowhere. We begin now a new section. V'hoya, we have here the three children. Hoshea, he marries a Zona. He has three children: Yisrael, Loi Ruchama, Loi Ami, and all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, V'hoya, one of the most beautiful nevuos that exists in the entire Tanakh. This is the top of the charts. V'hoya, this is the Haftarah for Parashas Bamidbar, which is Bamidbar is all about the census, the numbers of Klal Yisrael. So this is a very beautiful idea, the numbers. The whole Chumash Bamidbar, in fact, is called we call it Chumash HaPikudim. In English, it's called numbers. Numbers, and it means because in Hebrew, it's taken from Chumash HaPikudim. What does it mean, Pikudim? The counting. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is counted in the Chumash Bamidbar multiple times. I don't remember the exact number, but whatever it is, and that's why. So here, when you begin Chumash Bamidbar, what is the corresponding nevuah that's appropriate to relate? This pasuk is that you can't even count the Jewish people. You think you're going to count, you're going to take a census of how many Jews there are, 600,000, 603, 550, and then we start making calculations more later and so on and so forth. The Navi says, but the day will come, V'choyam mispar b'nei Yisrael kichoyl hayam, like the sands of the sea, which are in asher lo yimad v'lo yisofer, cannot be measured and cannot be counted. V'choyam b'mkoyim asher ye'omer lohem loy amiyatem, and here it corresponds, and this that it once was said about the Klal Yisrael, you're not my people, ye'omer lohem, you will be said about them, b'nei kelcha, you are the children of the living God. Now, before you even read the Mefarshim, let's just recap. This is something where you have to appreciate what this pasuk means. When it says, you no longer call this, that in the past it was said, Lo Yami, now it will be said, you are B'nai Kelchai. Upon whom was it said, Lo Yami? We went through so many Perushim to define the words, the symbolism of the third child, Lo Yami. Hoshea here is saying in reference to the third child, not in reference to the first child, and not in reference to the third child. You would think that from the three groups, the three children, the one that's the best, has the most potential, is Yisrael. And the one that has the next is Lo Yeruchama, and the worst was Lo Yami. And here Hoshea is coming to be Mechazek, the child that you would expect the least from, the one that's called Lo Yami. Who is Lo Yami? So you have to go back to all of the various interpretations. Is Lo Yami reference to the Malchus of Yehuda, like we learned from the Malbim? So it's telling us that the Malchus of Yehuda will one day return. They went into exile for 70 years. They will return to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They will thrive. And it will come a point in time where there will be will be without a nation that you cannot count. It refers to, may refer to times of Mashiach. I told you there's a tradition. I mean, because who came back to rebuild Bayit Sheni? The Malchus of Yehuda. Yehuda and Binyamin. And then when it came to Churban, they went into Bayit Sheni, they went into Galus. So who's going to come? Who now, today, in our understanding, are the Jews in Galus, and who have we already returned to Eretz Yisrael? It's only from the Shevet of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yehuda. Yehuda and Binyamin. As I told you, there's a tradition that the Jews of Spain are descendants of the Spanish Jews, the Sfardim, the Bukharins, and all that group of Jews are all descendants of the of Shevet Yehuda, and the Jews of Germany and France, there's a tradition, the legend, they are all descendants primarily from the Shevet of Binyamin. And the Aseres HaShvatim, we do not know what happened to them. So that's exactly what it says over here. I'm only going to tell you, according to the Malm, it fits in very well, is that the day will come when the Gula will return. It's going to be a Gula for who? For the Loi Ami, a reference to Yehuda. What about the child Yisrael? What about the child of Loi Ruchama? No mention. Why? Because that referred to, according to the Malm, the Aseres HaShvatim. Aseres HaShvatim, according to one opinion in the Gemara, they're gone for good. Rahman al-Islam, they're gone. Maybe a few yechidim, a few individuals will return in order that it should not be forgotten that the 12 shvatim, but the vast majority of them are no longer. But if you learn, like the man, most of the other mefarshim, that learn that loy ami is just a part of the Aseres HaShvatim, it's just a stage of the Aseres HaShvatim. Like, let's say the Radak, the Aseres HaShvatim, when they went into Golus, so it's giving you Nechama. Even though the Aseres HaShvatim have gone in stages, from Israel to Lo Ruchama, to Lo Yami, don't worry. The Aseres HaShvatim will return. Not only will they return, they will thrive. They will thrive to the point where you will not be able to measure or count these people. How come we don't give any credit, any cover to the people of Yehuda? It's not necessary. People of Yehuda were here. They did not suffer the golus of Sancheriv. The people of Yehuda, they're okay. They don't need the chizuk, the strength of Hoshea to be mechazek them. So it's very important. It's very important to understand the previous psukim, to understand who exactly are the three children, who exactly is the Loi Ami, because only when you know who the Loi Ami, you can then have a better appreciation of the nevuah, the positive nevuah, of who is going to merit the bracha of Lo Yimad, the Lo Yisofer. Is it Yehuda, or is it, like the Radak says, or is it a reference to the Malchus of Yisrael? Okay, let's see over here what it says in the Mitzvah, this Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph, on page 15 on the bottom. Ki lo, v'hoya misbar, b'zman ha-gu'ula, yihiyu misbar b'nei Yisrael, ki chol hayom, like the sin of the siyasho, asher, yefsho, limdoid, or some, you cannot count them. Ula safram, they cannot be measured. There are two different things. Measuring represents quality. Right? There's echos, and there's kamos. Echos usually goes together with the word of medida. Ula safram is number, is quantity. V'yamu razal, sh'achar sh'odah ha'shes elu, amaloy amakam shalach es ishtecha. Hashem told him to get divorced after he had these three children. V'heven b'remesh, sh'loy toy b'enei Hashem asher diber al Yisro lachlifam b'um acheres. L'chein chozar u'bikesh aleihem rachm. As we learn, this is the Hakdama to Sefer Hosea. After he had his three children, Hashem says, divorce your wife and get rid of your children. Abandon them.
Where is that later?
How is... No, it doesn't say... I don't think it says that. I don't think it says it in the Pasuk. I think this is just a Medrash. I don't believe it says it.
No, it's more of Tzachim.
Right, but the Pasuk... I don't think in the Pasuk it says... I don't think so. I don't think the Pasuk says to abandon... That Hashem told Hosea to divorce his wife and abandon his children. That's the Medrash. And that's all part of what we learn in the Hakdama, that how dare you say about Klal Yisrael that Hashem should exchange them for another nation. Let's see how easy it is for you to abandon your wife and your children, even though they are not, obviously, they are not ideal. So this is just going back to the Hakdama that we learned before. And therefore, when he realized that he made a very big mistake by saying something nasty about Klal Yisrael, he did teshuva. That's all part of the godless. The godless, who does tshuva today? Who's able to admit their sins? Not me. Who's able to confess? To confess, chatasi, I'm wrong. Who has that koyach, that recognition of MS? Hosea. That's why he was so great. He was maven that he did the wrong thing, and mamela he did teshuva, and this is his teshuva. He said about Klal Yisrael, get rid of them. He get rid of them. Hashem says to Hosea, your people are no good. So Hosea says, so get rid of them. Throw them out. Exchange them for another nation. That's how you talk, Hosea. That's how you talk. Let's see how easy it is for you to get rid of your wife and your children, even though they're illegitimate, even though they're no good. Your wife is a zona. Your children, you're not even sure they're your children. Just get rid of them. Get rid of them.
These are Weir's children.
Machloikis, Mufarsha. That's what we learned in the very beginning. So get rid of them. I can't. She's my wife. These are my children. There's nothing I can possibly do.
Were they actually Rishayim?
What?
Were his wife and children Rishayim?
Doesn't say they were Rishayim. Doesn't say that. The Chas V'Shalom doesn't say that. It just says that his wife was problematic.
Inappropriate.
His wife was a Zona. She was a Zona. And the children, according to one of the Mepharshim, he could not say with certainty that they're his children. Maybe they were fathered by someone else.
Who knows? Yeah.
But I'm raising them. I'm a gadol yosan b'sech beiso ki liyoldai. I can't get rid of them. So too, if you can get rid of your children and your wife, you think it's so easy for me to abandon Klal Yisrael? And he's doing teshuva. And what is the teshuvah? He's saying positive things about Klal Yisrael. Asher Yomar Lohem will be said about Klal Yisrael. Shehoyi Nema Aleihem Yomar Lohem Yomar Oid Aleihem Bnei Kelchoy. That in the past it was said Loyami. Now it will be said that they are Bnei Kelchoy Hachavivim Yoiser Me'am. They're not just a nation. Klal Yisrael are not just Bonin. Like we say in the Nusach and Yom Ram, we say Avinu Malkenu. We have two different types of relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem on one is our father, and he's also our king. A nation are avodim to the Melech. Yosef, what do people say to Yosef? Hinenu avodim. We are your slaves. The servants of the people are servants to their leadership. But Klal Yisrael is not like that. In addition to that also being true, Hashem is also our father, and we are his children. And that's what it says over here. The beauty over here, loy ami atem. Instead of saying, the Mitzvah is saying something very profound. When you say ami, that means we are slaves. We are avodim, and you are our melech. That's not going to be the focus. The primary relationship will be that we are children, and you are our father. Like we say in the Nusach of Avinu Malkenu. What comes first? Malkenu Avinu or Avinu Malkenu? If you were given the task to write this Nusach HaTzvil and you were told you have to put into this request the both relationships, Avinu and Malkenu, what would the average person put first? I don't know. Something good to think about. We're so Baruch Hashem, we're so brainwashed, we don't even think about it. But maybe the average person would write Malkenu Avinu. We start out, Hashem, you are our king. We are in awe. The Nusach of Tefillah begins, HaMelech, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, HaMelech. And so who says you have a right all of a sudden to say Avinu? You have a right to jump, to skip steps? Is that appropriate? You have to be deserving to call Hashem your father, to be considered his son. Maybe we should say, Malkeinu Avinu, Chatanu Lefonech. No. What do we say? Avinu Malkeinu. Where does that come from? Look what the Mitzvah says. He's saying it comes from this pasuk. Lo ye'omer lohem lo yam miatem. It will no longer be said about Klal Yisrael that you're not my nation, but it will be said that you're b'nei kelchoy. And the Mitzvah adds, it's not just that you're going to go from negative to positive. You're going to do more than that. If you go from negative to positive, it should be said that am miatem. You're my nation. When you call my nation, it means you are a king. You are a nation as a king. And the people are subjects. No, you're going to skip steps. You're going to go to the point where you're going to say about Hashem, you're my father, and we are your children. That's how far it's going over here. It's not just a negative to a positive. We're going here two steps. Okay, so this is an idea from what happened over here. Okay. This is an idea from the Mitzudos. Okay, now let's go to Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, and he goes into Pasuk Beis as well. So maybe let's read, in fact, going to Pasuk Beis, let's read another Pasuk. Just should we get into it? Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis is Vinik Mitzu. V'nei Yehuda v'nei Yishol Yachtav, they will gather. The V'nei Yehuda v'nei Yishol Yachtav. V'sam lachem roish echav olam minaretz. Ki gadol yom Yisrael. So here we have a new idea. The kibbutz Golias, it comes from here. He's sitting in the sefer. Here we have a new idea. Both Yehuda and Yisrael.
You're learning Rashi now?
And I'm reading the Pasuk Beis. Because Rashi jumps in the Pasuk. So I want to jump ahead of the Pasuk Beis. V'nikbitzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachtav. This is a beautiful nevuah. And those who say that the Aseres HaShvatim are not going to return have a lot of trouble with this Pasuk. The b'nei Yehuda and the b'nei Yisrael are going to come together. V'samu lachem roish echad is going to be one leader. V'alum in aretz, and they will ascend from the land. Ki gadol yom Yisrael, the day of Yisrael, which means the day of Yisrael. Let's see right away the Mitzvah of David, the Nikvitzu on page 18 on the bottom, the Nikvitzu, Izeye Bimei HaMashiach. The Mitzvah of David says this will take place in times of Mashiach. Why can this Pasuk not take place during the time of the Gula of the Bayis Sheni? Why not? Because it didn't happen. It did not happen. There was no Bnei Yisrael. There were only Bnei Yehuda. So there's no way this pasuk can, in hindsight, refer to the time of the Bayis Sheni, because there was no Bnei Yisrael. Maybe we had one person. We had Ezra, Nehemiah. So they were the one person who indeed was instrumental and a motivating force, a leader to have us return to Eretz Yisrael. But there was no Bnei Yisrael, only Bnei Yehuda. Therefore, the Mitzudo says it has to be referring to times of Moshiach, which he seems to indicate that he's following, he's interpreting the pasuk, and then that Seres HaShvatim will return. Who is the Roish Echad Zemel HaMashiach? The Alu Mi'artzos HaGoyla, Yalu El Artzan Ki Gol Yom Yisrael. Now, what does the meaning of the word Yisrael? Going back on the first child. Ki yoyim gadol v'nichbar yeh yoyim kibbutz Yisrael asher hafitzam. Now Yisrael means dispersal. Going back to what we meant in the very beginning, asher hafitzam hakel kimefazer ziroim al pnei hasodeh. The day of kibbutz Golios will be a very great day. So the word Yisrael doesn't mean the day of dispersal. It means the day when Hashem will reverse the dispersal. When Hashem will perform kibbutz Golias. But that's not what it says. Right? So it's a very loose, liberal translation of the word. You're really translating the word the opposite of what it literally means. This is why it's very difficult. One more kibbutz Yisrael, the ingathering, Asher in the past, like a person disperses, scatters seed over the field. It's difficult how he translates this word. Let's see Rashi.
The Malbim says, Asher, lo yisofer, means there'll be, not that there'll be so many that you just can't count, that they're so spread out over the world that there's no way you could find out how many Jews there are. Was there all over the place.
But not necessarily in number. Okay. Day of the ingathering. Right, so it's quoting from Rashi. Rashi says, Arei Rav Yom Kinish Hun, ingathering. But it's difficult because Yisrael does not mean the ingathering. Yisrael means the day of dispersal. Unless you want to go follow the rule that we said so many times, that many times a word means itself and its opposite. What are the classic examples of Yishrosh, Yisharesh, to take root and to uproot. Exactly the same letters, same station. Yishrosh, to take root. Yisharesh, to uproot. Yisko, to stone a person. Yisko, and Yisokel means to lift up the stone, to remove the stone. There are many examples. So here you'd have to say something along those lines. You have to say the word Yisrael, the way it's vowelized. I don't know the rules of grammar, how this would work out. It means we would expect it to mean to see, to disperse, the dispersal of Hashem. And here, the way it is vowelized, it indicates the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing about an ingathering. Okay, let's not see Rashi.
Israel is Israel. It means.
Can we discuss this? Like the plant. Zerah.
There's also this phrase, Ve'olu min ha'aretz. And this week's parsha, the Mitzrayim say, Ve'olu min ha'aretz.
The Allah min ha'aretz, they'll force us. They'll force us out of the land. So let's see Rashi. Rashi puts these two psukim together. Rashi pasuk alpha beis ma'ayin mispar ma'ayin puranus. He asked the obvious kasha, like what the mitzudos asked. Ma'ayin puranus v'nechama smuchim b'divrei echad. What's going on over here? Perek aleph was puranus, three children represented korban, and pasuk the pasuk alpha perek beis. Suddenly we mentioned nechama. Now by the way, is this a new perek? This is another example. I think this is another example where you see that the Christians who made the chapter breaks were not on the mark. Were not on the mark, and they ignored, sometimes deliberately ignored, the Mamari Chazal. They made this into a Perek Beis. Right? Perek Aleph ends. Perek Aleph is a Nevuah. What?
It's a very short.
Okay, so Treyasa is very short. Only nine psukim. So Adarava. So yeah, I mean, okay, but are there only nine psukim and those who made these kapitlach, who made these breaks, were not Jews, and they doesn't make any sense. How could it be over here the nevuah of Hoshea, it jumps from Puranus Chorbin to words of Nechama? It must be that they're two separate nevuos. One is a nevuah that was said in his youth, one was said in his old age. Different to Kufos, and therefore to show that it's completely separate, we're going to break it into its own chapter. Right? It's very logical.
Yeah.
Along comes Rashi and says, I'm sorry, this is not a chapter break. Even though we see there's a samach, okay, a samach, which means a parasha stuma. A parasha stuma just means a new paragraph. The parasha psucha and a parasha stuma. A parasha psucha, maybe you can say, is a new chapter, but a parasha stuma is not a new chapter. In the right time, I call also yafavita. Is not a new chapter. It is just a paragraph. A parasha stuma. So Rashi here is telling us, don't be misled with Perek Beis. Rashi did not. I don't think Rashi had his chapters in his time. Didn't exist yet. It's not a new chapter. Chazal already understood there's a problem here, and they said that this nevuah took place at the same exact moment. Mm-hmm. The same exact moment, one shot. To teach you something. Going back to the Hakdamah. He made a terrible mistake. Now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I want you to get married, you're going to have three children, and this could happen, he realized, wow, did I make a mistake? Did I say a foolish thing to go say about the Jewish people that Hashem should exchange them, and now I'm going to have to suffer. I'm now going to have to go through this whole process. And therefore immediately he did teshuva, and the teshuva was, he said, beautiful brachos for Klal Yisrael. Over Sifrei Dibei Rav, the Rav Parashas Vayeshev Yisrael Shitim Shaninu. Okay, and this is by Midbar, the Medrash, the Sifrei of the Medrash of Parashas by Midbar. It says Shaninu Rabbi Omer Yesh Parshio Smucho Zol Zoru Choyko Zol Mizol Ki Choyk Mizrach Omarav. On the one hand, they're smuchos; they're in physical proximity, but conceptually they're rachuk mi mizrach l'rav. They cannot be more distant. And what is an example of parashios that are in physical proximity but conceptually are completely rachuk? This example right here, we have one of the worst nevuos, a prediction, a nevuah of the Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim, and then the very next words, the most beautiful bracha of what will be in times of Mashiach. Ki atem lo yami. This is an example, but it's for this purpose that he mentioned before. Next, the next words are v'hoya b'mitzvah b'nei shol kichol hayom mo'inin wazeh eitzel Zeh, Marshall, now is a beautiful, beautiful Marshall. Marshall, Lamelach, Shekohas al Ishtai. Okay, it's a new, this is a different twist, this is a different approach. A king got angry at his wife. Shalach Achar HaSofer, so he said, Ad Khan, we're getting divorced. It's over, it's curtains. Call the lawyers. The lawyers come, the get, call the rabbi, the lawyers, that's it, we're going to divide everything up and we're going to get a divorce. They call everyone, Shalach Achar HaSofer, Lava. He takes the red telephone and he makes that call. And they're on the way. While they're on the way, what happens? There's reconciliation. Something happens. She says something to him and he likes what she says. All of a sudden, he's singing a new song. I don't want to divorce her anymore. Ding dong. Who's here? The lawyer is here. The lawyer is here. The rabbi is here. And outside in front of the home, you have this old television stations with their antennas all up in the sky waiting to report, why is the rabbi and the lawyer here? Something really bad is happening. So how is the king going to save face? Well, now he changes his mind, does not want to divorce his wife. What else is the rabbi and the lawyer here for? So he says to them, I love my wife so much, I want to give her, I want to double her ksuba. I want the lawyer and the rabbi to, maybe we should get married again. A second vow. What is it called in England? This the goyim? Renew our vows. I want to renew our vows. And I want to write a new ksuba. It's exactly what he's saying. It's unbelievable. See, Rashi was way ahead of his time. He knew about this in his day. It's exactly what it says over here. So Asholach Achar HaSofer Lava V'Lichtav Loget. Actually, Boha Sofer Nisratza Melech Leishtoi. They made peace. Amar HaMelech, Efshe Yetzia Sofer Zeh Mikan Choluk. Kloimar, the Sofer is going to leave. What happened here? He calls me and he tells me to go home empty-handed. I didn't do anything. He's going to go and make a billable. He's going, it's not going to look good. It's not going to look good in the media. Choluk, Choluk means he'll be conflicted. He's divided in his heart. What has happened over here? So Amalai, come, cover up. We're going to renew our vows. I'm going to give her double the ksuba. Whatever I promised her, the ksuba over here doesn't mean over here. It means to give her whatever, the dowry, whatever he wants to give her part of the marriage. This is why these two things are juxtaposed. Over here, in other words, the Bittul Medrash, Agovi HaKadosh Baruch Hu says horrible things about Klal Yisrael. Have three children, I'm going to exile you, I'm going to not have Rachmanis upon you, you're not called my people. And then Hashem says, what did I do? What did I just say? I'm going to get rid of Klal Yisrael? Hashem says, I have Charata. Hashem finds reconciliation with Klal Yisrael, and therefore, you know what? What's going on? I have to now go give them incredible bracha. Ulefi peshutoi, kachi simicha. So this is the reason why they're connected. Ki atem loy ami avinochi lo eye lochem. Ere atzmi, I'm going to make believe. Ki ilu eni lochem. Vitiglu lebeinu umois. There's going to be hester upon him. You're going to go exalvi afsham tirbu vitismu. So he's giving a third interpretation. He's telling us over here is that, don't worry. Even though there's going to be Hester upon him, you're going to go into Golis, you're going to thrive in Golis. Look at today. I mean, Baruch Hashem, is this Nevuah have not been fulfilled in Golis? I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of collateral damage. Okay, it goes without saying how many people have been lost from us, Rachman Litzlan. But look at Klal Yisrael today. Look how Klal Yisrael, look at this shear right here. Who would imagine? Okay, Klal Yisrael is thriving. Even within the Hester Panim, they use it as an opportunity to be makir the Ribbon Shlom and to thrive in Avodas Hashem. Tirbu v'sitzmichu v'shaman dir toshivu el levavchem lo shuv elai k'mo shenemar ayidei Moshe v'hashivosa el levavecha b'chol haguim asher hidichacho sham v'shav Hashem lokech eshevuscha. Right, you say this in shul by the Mishaberach for the Medina. Right? anyone still say that?
Yes.
You know, I was shocked yesterday. My mom was shocked out of my mind yesterday. I couldn't believe what I saw online. What happened was, you know, I grew up in Yom Yisrael. I always say the bracha for the Shalom HaMedina. And in fact, I used to be the one who used to say it. I used to be the one, I would say, you know, every word. I, Oh, you're wearing a black hat. What happened? What happened to you? Your mama, she became a nitrifidaita, a Haredi with a black hat. He says the Shalom HaMedina and the Shalom for the...
Which president did you say?
So then also, you know, the Snickers, if ever you have a Simcha, you have some people who are from the other side.
The dark side, the snickering
and the this and the that, whatever. Who cares, whatever, fine. Old news, nothing is new. So yesterday, mamish, for 3 seconds, and just before I went to sleep, I went online to just see what's going on in the world. So I go through my routine, you know, I go through my bookmarks. So I come across one Jewish website, and they have their rally, another rally for our friend. No, I didn't mean it like that. No, chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Chas. I didn't mean it like that. It really did not come out the way I meant. I really did not mean it like that. He suffered so much. Leave him alone. Okay? He really suffered gefer lecha things. One story really broke my heart. Once when he was in prison, he has a special needs child. And he came to visit him. So he embraced him. He embraced me, kissed him. He kissed him. He kissed him. And then he looked at him, and then he kissed him again. The warden said, "One kiss! Only one kiss! Don't you dare!" Wow, that's pretty cruel, no? That's a pretty cruel thing, no matter who you are. Any event, so there was a rally. And part of this rally, they showed that they gave a bracha for the Rosh HaMemshala of the United States of America, Trump. So all Hasidim. They look Hasidim, Shtraimloch, and that's Shtraimloch. Like, Mamash Hasidim. All different. And they're all standing there, and they're saying, thing, Mi Sheberech HaNoisein, what's the Nusach of God? The Shulam Lachim, and Mimshalam Lanesichim, who Yivorech, Vyishmar, Vyinsar. Mamish the nusach that I used to say in the shul, Mila the Mila. And I was like, wow, look at this. All of these Haredim, Hasidim, are standing here very respectfully with Kavanah, even shuckling with Kavanah to the Mivarech, the Medin, the Mivarech, the president. And I'm like, wow, like interesting. Very interesting. The truth is, this was done Maisim Mechol Yom. Go back before America, in France, for sure, where it comes from, it was done every single Shabbos.
The Queen.
It was just like really. Mashiyase hazman lo yase hasechel. It was very jarring. Like, take a look at it. Go online. It won't be hard to find. Let's go. Like, we have to finish up over here. Okay, so that is the end of this Rashi. We have to go through Mepharshim. Basically, Rashi over here has said a mouthful. We have really giving us at least three interpretations of what this smichos. The first thing is to recognize that Perek Beis is a very, very big mistake. This is not a Perek Beis. There is no reason to break away, to break this. This Adarabah, the Adarabah, the two are be to merged. And that adds to the mystique of what exactly is going on. And Rashi has told us, Rashi has given us a few interpretations. And one is, the first is the beautiful mashal. Is the beautiful mashal, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind. And it's important. According to the first interpretation, there is a change of mind.
I have a question.
And because there's a change of mind, therefore Hashem is trying to, I already brought you together, I brought your attention together. I guess what he means over here is, I've done this major scene of having Moshe get married to draw Klal Yisrael's attention to me. And now I change my mind. Once I have their attention, I don't want them to walk away chaluk, with misgivings. I'm going to bless them. The second interpretation is, is that this pasuk is not referring to the geula. The pasuk is referring to golus. Okay, everything is true. There's going to be a golus. I'm going to exile you, Yisrael. Loiruchama, loyami. You look very upset. Don't be upset. Loyami, and then. Even in Golos, there's going to be Baracha. Okay, so that was the other approach. And
can I say something?
Yes.
You say there is no harata. Yes.
Yes.
But when Shmuel HaNavi came and told Shaul that Hashem told you are not going to be any time more, for my Hashem know it in heart. Hashem is not going to change if he told you are not be any Mele.